All right, welcome back. Hope you all had a great lunch. These chairs, if you happen to stand up, just remember the chair will too, so don't just sit straight back down. Otherwise, you'll be sitting on the floor very quickly.
Awful and handy when we give our standing ovation.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, last year at LCA, it was mentioned that at various stages, he'd been a coder, an unemployed layabout, an international jet setter, and a medical student, which is quite a CV, isn't it? He's now working towards a PhD in bioinformatics in the genetics department at Cambridge University. For those people who don't know what that is, and I didn't have a clue, so I had to look it up, it says something about computational biology, but I'm absolutely sure Matthew will explain later. He's quite happy to fix your laptop, they tell me. Apparently he has some sort of a phobia about fruit flies. I don't know whether that refers to his genetics work or not. He is the head of the Ubuntu laptop team, and he's worked on power management since 2003. Apparently he has an excessively large pile of laptops, which I have from reliable sources all suspend and resume correctly most of the time. So please, let's welcome Matthew Garrett.
Oh, well, I'm going to be talking about trying to make suspend and resume work. I'm not actually going to tell you how to have fun doing it, and nor am I going to tell you how to make money doing it. You'll have to figure that out for yourself. And just to introduce myself a little, my name's Matthew Garrett. I work on fruit flies. That's an accurate depiction of what I'm supposed to spend my life doing. On the other hand, it's not terribly relevant to this. So, also, my name's Matthew Garrett. I work on Linux kernel. While strictly more relevant to LCA, doesn't really provide any insight. My name's Matthew Garrett, and I hate life. And because I hate life, I fix laptops. This is a proportion of my collection. This is actually a picture that somebody stole, used on eBay, and I'm currently trying to use the DMCA to get them to take it down. It turns out that they weren't actually selling my laptop, which is reassuring. So, why does suspend not work on Linux? To be honest. Yeah. Exactly. The title of my talk is a little bit lax. Suspend tends to be fine, and then the resume doesn't work. Well, this depends. It's actually often code in the suspend path that causes the problem. But let's look at some examples of what sorts of code causes the problem. It's usually the drivers. In fact, it's almost always the drivers. The core Linux power management code is really quite solid now, and generally works absolutely fine. There's very little in there that can go wrong nowadays. So for the most part, it's kernel drivers. Just emphasize that. It really is almost always the drivers. Sometimes, very occasionally, there's non-drive code in the kernel that goes wrong, and you're only going to hit that on the suspend resume path. But generally, not so much. And finally, really, blame your drivers. One thing that is conspicuously not here is the ACPI code in your laptop. And there's a reason for that. You actually execute very little ACPI code in the suspend and resume path. Almost everything is handled by the hardware directly or by the kernel. There's a small amount of ACPI code executed, but in almost all cases, the only thing that really does is make little flashing sleep lights flash. If you disable that, then in almost every case, it'll still work. So that's a good indication that it's not usually a problem with your BSDT. If the spend resume doesn't work, don't just try recompiling your BSDT, because it'll just leave you very confused later when you add more memory and your laptop crashes the whole time. Just give a quick introduction to what actually happens when you try to suspend a laptop, or in fact, any computer. First of all, you stop user space. And there's a reason you want to stop user space. If user space is still accessing hardware while you're trying to shut the hardware down, it might get a bit confused. So the first thing we do is make sure that user space isn't running anymore, so that we can fiddle with the hardware behind its back without anything going horribly wrong. Then we do that. The kernel iterates through every driver on the system, and drivers nowadays follow a sort of tree, so you have some idea of which drivers are at the end. Those get suspended first, then you can suspend drivers that those drivers depend on. And that way, with luck, nothing blows up. At this point, time stops. At least as far as the laptop's concerned. Basically, the final thing you do is write a couple of values to a register, and at that stage, the hardware takes over. It's completely out of kernel control at this point. Machine stops. When you resume, first of all, the machine powers up. The CPU's been completely reset, so it starts executing BIOS code again. This is in the firmware. There's a register that contains an address. You jump to that address, you start executing wake-up code there, that puts the processor back in protected mode, and at that point, you're back in Linux, you can start calling all the resume methods for the drivers. And then, start user space, and suddenly your screen saver comes on, because 3 days have passed without it noticing, and also your typing monitor is telling you that you really, really need to take a break from typing now. So, it all looks really quite simple there, doesn't it? Except the stopping time part, which unfortunately we can't do in the general case. Just in this specific one. So, the important thing there is that drivers need to support suspending stuff and resuming it. In order to suspend a device, you need to be able to get the hardware into a known state where it's not doing anything anymore. So you don't want it generating interrupts. You don't want it to be in a state where it's still altering register values. Depending on the type of device, that might be very easy. That might be quite difficult. But the code needs to know how to do it. Then you need to save the state of the device, because you need to be able to reprogram it back into a working state. And then finally, you just put it into an appropriate power state. So again, this all sounds sort of quite straightforward there, doesn't it? On resume, you just power the device back up, you restore the state, and then the device works again. Why is this hard? Because after all, you're just restoring some space, right? Just restoring some space. So in a typical PCI driver, you might, a typical PCI driver for a typical uncomplicated device, all you have to do is call PCI save state and then give it the handle of the pointer to the PCI device structure. That then reads PCI configuration registers, copies them into a structure. You call PCI set power state to put it into D3, and at that point, the hardware is powered down. You suspend. Then you resume, set power state again to make sure it's back in D0, because oddly enough, reprogramming devices when they're suspended doesn't work so well. And then you call PCI restore state and hand it the pointers to that structure again. And that magically rewrites configuration registers back into the state they were in when you suspended. So, looks pretty straightforward. Even a proprietary vendor might be able to get this right. There's a few problems, though, unsurprisingly. First of all, PCI save status does not save all the PCI configuration registers. It saves the ones specified in the PCI specification. That's not very interesting in most cases, because almost every piece of hardware has many other registers that also need to be saved and have state restored. So why do we not save all these? And the answer is that the order matters. So as an example of this, AGP code, there are several extra PCI configuration registers that control the behavior of the AGP bridge. One of these contains the address of the memory where the AGP graphics aperture starts, and another one contains the size of the aperture in megabytes. The address comes first, and then the size. If you just naively save all the registers and then write them back, you try to write back the address before you've written back the size. This is a bit of a problem with AGP, because if the chip has come back up with a different size value, when you attempt to write back the address, Intel AGP bridges, at least, will not let you set an address which would result in the size causing the aperture to extend beyond the end of physical memory. Oh, sorry, not physical memory, of the address space range. So if you try to write back a value putting the graphics aperture 128 megabytes below the top physical address space, and then say, while at this point it's programmed to have a 256 megabyte aperture, that write will have no effect. You'll then write the size, but then if you don't come back to write the base address, it'll result in your AGP bridge accepting all writes to, say, your Ethernet card. Perhaps unsurprisingly, this doesn't work so well. So in order to actually write a working driver that supports this, you need to know a great deal about the specific hardware that the driver is driving. You can't just naively assume that writing back the same values that you read in will result in the device working. It's much like a hardware power-up. You can't assume that the device is necessarily in a particular state when you boot the system. You need the driver to be able to initialize it fully. So how can you tell whether the driver works or not? In the case of PCI drivers, every driver appears in SysFS attached to a device. And you can echo power state values into this file, and that will then call the suspend routine. The reason for number two is that the enumeration values for the different system power states are just 0, 1, and 2. They don't have any relation to PCI power states. So at one point, echoing 3 in there would put the device into D3, and that seemed like a sort of logical coherent thing, but then it's decided that it should be system power states rather than PCI power states, and somebody then decided that it would be sensible to have a bug statement in the kernel so that if you try to echo a value larger than 2, the kernel would crash. Some SUSE kernel people have interesting ideas. And that used to be a handy way of checking whether the growth functionality worked, except something recently broke it in the kernel, and apparently it was never supposed to work anyway, and the fact that it did was, well, I was on acid or something. Right, it was a bug that you were able to do this. It's a feature that you can't anymore. Ericsson once tried to have an argument on me when I discovered that I could copy my address book off my phone over Bluetooth without any sort of authentication. Apparently it was a feature that you were able to do that because it made it easier for you to get access to your phone book. It's a feature they removed in later firmware versions. But because it was a feature, not a bug, they wanted to charge me money to upgrade the firmware. haven't really liked their phone as much since then. Precisely. Whereas, at least in Linux case, they did it for free. Look, there's a problem with this, even in the case where it does work. It's been broken in 2.6.19 entire. You just get EEPERM or something. I'm trying to get a patch into 2.6.20 that will fix that, but I became very angry and went off to do something else instead for a while. Is there a time when I'm not angry? I'm not currently angry. Don't ask that again or I'll become angry. Now, one of the problems with this is that while it's a good way of testing the gross suspend resume code, you're not actually really going through a full suspend cycle. You're probably not losing PCI configuration state in the same way that you do when the platform suspends itself. So even if the driver works when you do this, and even if the driver works for you when you suspend resume your laptop, it may not work for other people because different platforms may leave the hardware in completely different states over the suspend resume cycle. The specification doesn't specify what should happen to the hardware during the suspend, when the system is put into suspend. And so people just implement all sorts of things depending on whether they like fluffy bunnies or whether they like chainsaws. Is there anybody who likes both fluffy bunnies and chainsaws and not the combination? Right. It's the ones who put their hands up when I said fluffy bunnies and chainsaws and then put them down again. So I'm a little bit concerned about you. Not every device is PCI. Most devices are PCI. All the cool devices are PCI. Or PCI Express, it's much the same thing. But not everything is. And so a lot of these drivers that don't work because driver authors all suck are driving the basic platform hardware, such as your interrupt controller. And these also need to be broken state, because again, you have the same complete lack of guarantees or warranty about what sort of state what will actually happen to the device over a suspend regime cycle. You need to be able to reprogram it to precisely the same states within when you left it. I had one laptop where, on resume, you got no interrupt. That makes life slightly tricky. You don't get any interrupts, then drivers don't tend to work. They get a bit upset. And the problem is that a lot of these drivers tend to assume that interrupts will work during the resume code. You end up having to build this ridiculously cut-down kernel in the sense of work out what on earth's going on. And then, oh, wait, whenever I proc interrupts, this number isn't increasing. And if I type sleep, one, and then go away, come back, go away, wait, the inverse. It still hasn't returned. Maybe there's something wrong with the interrupt controller. And it turns out that the interrupt controller code didn't restore one flag. There was one register value that wasn't there. And as a consequence, the little devices were waving their arms around as hard as they could, and the interrupt controller was ignoring them because it was a mean, heartless interrupt controller. So, single variable, read that value back on suspend, restore it on resume, and suddenly everything worked much better. It was a shame the laptop was crap. It meant that I didn't have any particular feeling of joy, and that I hadn't brought useful functionality to an object of beauty. I made it more likely that people would buy this really ugly laptop. You see why I hate life? If your laptop doesn't work, then I am sorry. Really, I'm sorry. I appreciate that people like their laptops to work. Possibly you'd like it to work, rather than just have my beans of sympathy. Well, the problem with suspend and resume is that when you're resuming, there's a good chance that there's absolutely nothing on your screen because we haven't got to the point where we tried to reprogram your video card yet, and it's hung. And possibly there's a little flashing light, but possibly not. To a first approximation, if pressing caps lock results in the caps lock light turning on, then your system pretty much has resumed. It's just that we didn't get the video working. Sorry. Find the next developer and tell them how upset you are. They'll appreciate that a great deal. It's not my problem. If your caps lock doesn't work, then there's a good chance that it's in the kernel. This might be my problem. Ideally, however, you'll be able to figure out where in the kernel it is, and then it becomes somebody else's problem again. This is where the profit aspect comes in. People give me credit for doing things like, say, it's his fault. Great. It's really nice having people say thank you for fixing my laptop. I don't think that was me. Somebody else fixed this driver problem, your laptop finally started working again. But if you want to say thank you, buy me beer, fly me to other countries, excellent, I'm not going to object. But by and large, up until fairly recently, actually trying to debug these things involved a ridiculous amount of repetitive rebooting, rebuilding kernels, crying, drinking heavily, repeat until successful, or until unsuccessful, as occasionally happens. Or unconscious, liver failure, death, universe explodes. All of these are possible outcomes of this process. Complete extinction of the human race, that sort of thing. Power button wears out, precisely. I'm not sure how many cycles those things are rated for. Thankfully, Linus had a machine that he wanted to suspend and resume, and it didn't work. And Linus got really tired of repeatedly pressing the power button, especially because it's a Mac, and they make this really irritating boom noise every time you turn them on. Now, my approach to this would probably have been to drink heavily. But since that's my approach to most things in life, it's not necessarily useful. Linus's approach was a little more cunning. Linus thought, well, why don't I dump information about how far through the resume process we've got? Which is great, except how do you read it? The screen hasn't come back on. You don't have working serial console because serial ports don't work. Laptops don't have serial ports nowadays. And even if they did, it wouldn't work because the serial port resume code is dreadful. So how can we manage this? Laptops, like all PCs, have a small area of non-volatile RAM. We use it for storing things like your CMOS password and so on. So you could just write into there. Unfortunately, different vendors use different bits of CMOS for different purposes, so writing values in there might result in you corrupting some of these CMOS in such a way that the machine only boots. Must be bad, again. But there's one bit that isn't system critical and isn't in a known location, and that's the time and date. So how about we write a magic value into there, depending on which device we're resuming, and then that will continue to be there when you reboot the machine, and then it'll pop up a little message, and you'll know which device didn't work. So to get this to work, you need to build your kernel with the config pm trace option. There are then two other macros that you need to care about, trace device and trace resume. Trace device, you pass it a device structure. Trace resume, you pass it 0, 1, something like that. And I'll show you the output. It's really, really magic. It's really, really cool, and I don't use it anywhere near enough. I'm not sure we actually build it into the Ubuntu kernels, which is really stupid of me. On the other hand, if other people could figure out how to do this, I'd look much less ninja. Oh yeah, the downside of this is that if you enable this and use it, then when you boot system, your clock contains garbage. That's a future. Well, obviously, everybody has network access, so just use NTP. It'll be good. So to use this, you build it into the kernel, and then if your machine doesn't work, you echo one into this magic file, this power PM trace. You suspend your laptop, you attempt to resume your laptop, you get angry, you hit the laptop a bit, you hold down the power button, you turn it back on, and then on boot, it prints this. The magic number you don't really need to care about. It's magic, and irrelevant. The hash matches statement tells you the last, gives you the location of the last line where there was a, what's the name of this again? Trace resume. So, driver's base power resume.c has a trace resume macro in it. If that was the last trace resume you hit, then it'll print that line number. Of course, the failure may have come several thousand lines later, but unless you put in another trace resume, then you won't know that. And then it'll also give you the device. This is in driver's base power resume.c. That function is actually the function that iterates over every driver, providing you with, iterates over every driver calling that resume function. So in this case, what it tells us is that it was in the device resume section of the kernel, it was attempting to resume it, as it got to the driver attached to this device before it stopped executing code. So you then work out what that device is, LSPCR will tell you. Look at the driver, go, oh my god, that's AGP, it's Dave's fault. And then Dave gets upset and drinks heavily. And before you know it, the entire Linux kernel development community has been forcibly checked into Alcoholics Anonymous, and there's no more Linux development. So try not to make them unhappy. Right. Mm. As long as you want. It's in non-volatile RAM. Yeah, but it doesn't look like the right value. So the crop stuff won't update it because it's got garbage there. This is the best thing ever. Use this, because that way we know why your machine's not resuming much earlier rather than having to stand there going, reboot, break. Drink more. Yes. If your laptop suspends resume correctly, don't drink. Oh, no, I am. Never mind. Yes. Yeah. Suspended disk generally works better, and there's a reason that suspended disk generally works better. Remember what I said about not being sure what state the hardware is going to be in when you resume. So then the disk, you do know what state the hardware is going to be in. It's going to be in whatever state it was in when you booted the system in the first place. And that makes life easier. And that's because you only need to be able to do the same thing that you were able to do anyway to initialize the hardware and get it working at all. So if the driver already knows how to do that, then it's all to work. It doesn't always. A lot of the time, you can get hardware to work over suspend and resume by unloading the module before suspending, then reloading it when resuming. This is bad and wrong, and Dave gets upset when people do this. But if that works, then clearly the driver is able to deal with the state the hardware's in. And in some cases, you could sort of fudge around it by just removing a suspend code and just putting it into D3, and then in the resume code, just call the device probe routine. It must be really, really bad and horrible and wrong, but it might even work. I don't think I have, actually. I can't see why it wouldn't work, but...
That's what you did in the AGP
session. Yeah, but that was right in that case. That was an entirely correct patch. So, the problem with suspended disk is that, well, it's... You don't want to use suspense disk. It'd be much nicer if suspense RAM was the user's problem and suspense disk was the hard problem. Apparently, there's no sort of particular justice when it comes to those kernel bugs. It is clearly the case that if Windows can correctly suspend and resume a machine, then Linux should be able to as well. Some vendors don't make this easy for you because they don't provide any documentation on how the hardware is supposed to work. There's a series of HP laptops. They're quite old now, so thankfully most people who have them have dropped them so many times that they don't work anymore, and so this is much less a problem than it used to be when they turn up with them and scream at me to make it work. But they won't resume. They don't resume correctly. Unless you resume within half a second of suspending, at which point you can get a serial console back, except the kernel oopses when you do things like type ls, because there's massive memory corruption. Right, so in that case, it's probably the fact that for some reason the hardware isn't automatically putting the memory into self-refresh mode. It's turning off the memory controller and then the memory state degrades, which would then explain why leaving it longer results in it being less successful. Unfortunately, we can't check this because ATI won't tell us which register in their memory controller does this. It's obviously a very important trade secret. Other vendors are much better. Intel provides you with almost all the documentation you need to fix their chipsets. So hooray for Intel. And also Intel buy me ice cream. It's nice of them. I like Intel. Yes, thanks Keith. And Keith works for Intel, so they must be nice. Even if they do attempt to make him work. Some sort of unfortunate. Yeah, poor Keith. So this has mostly been about the kernel and device drivers and getting those to work. If you want your graphics reinitialized, at the moment we basically leave that up to X. Keith plans to do something about this in the future, I'm sure. Right, Keith? Yes. So Keith will provide us with magic working excellence, and we will be very happy. And then with luck, we'll be able to shame the other vendors into actually doing something that works. Yeah, suspend and resume is much less likely to work if you're using binary drivers, especially the NVIDIA and ATI graphics drivers. I'm sort of abstractly sorry that that's the case, but on the other hand, that was not my problem at all, and nor is it Keith, and nor is it Dave. We all win, except for you, because you're using that laptop. That's about all that I wanted to cover, I think. We've got 10 minutes so for questions. Does anybody have any questions? Right. Yeah, and the answer to can I fix your laptop is probably yes, but not right now, because I'm supposed to be giving a talk or something. Yeah, right. The answer is possibly that you did something bad to a kitten once. Sorry, the question was, why is behavior of power management not always deterministic? I don't think there's a generic answer. I think it's likely that... So one reason why this might happen is that on resume, a register might contain a garbage value that could be random. And sometimes it happens and it works anyway, and sometimes you end up with a value where it doesn't.
Let me give you an example, first-hand experience of what happens in the world of hardware. Say you've got something which is, say, driving graphics computer. They often have PLL, which has to get started and stabilized. Our first pass of VCON chip, which I'll talk about in my talk, has the property of wanting to be told roughly many times the same thing, and so value would actually take. So it could be, unfortunately, real black blue magic at times to actually get the hardware into a sane state. And unless you know this, because you're friendly with the guy who is designing the chip who screwed up, you're sort of screwed. And it's really the case that most chips work fine, and there'd be some that wouldn't, and you'd have to tell them 20, 50 times. So finally, they work.
So one forceful explanation is that hardware sucks.
Yeah.
So you said basically you thought the power infrastructure inside of the core of Linux is pretty good. Are there other pieces of infrastructure that you see coming down the road that might actually fix the whole class of problems?
The question was, is there any major change to the kernel that should improve the likelihood of the embedded machine working? Not really. It's almost all, as I said, down to individual driver bugs. And that unfortunately means fixing individual drivers. Yeah, there's quite a lot of them. A few thousand, I don't know, 10. Yeah, we could find a lot of bugs by just basically forcing stress tests, getting the bugs reported. And part of the problem has often been that up until recently, people didn't expect suspension regime to work. And so they never bothered filing bugs about the fact it didn't. And nobody bothered implementing the machines properly, because why fix it in my driver, because it's not going to work anyway. Now users are starting to expect it to work. These users will expect things occasionally, which is unfortunate. It'd be much easier if they didn't. Basically, more testing, finding the bugs, and getting people to fix them. Where can you get somebody to help you fix and resume on your laptop when I'm not in the country? Usually your distribution's Bugzilla is the best port of call. And part of the problem is that something that can make a difference is which kernel version you're running, which patches your vendor has applied to your kernel, so on. Sometimes distributions will carry patches that make things work. Most of the ones that make things better in Ubuntu have now been pushed upstream, I think. The port case upstream in the first place have now been integrated. But really, your best bet is to accept the fact that it is a bug in your distribution if it doesn't work. If your distribution doesn't believe that, then pick a different distribution. And it might be the case that the correct thing for the distribution to do is to then direct you to upstream Bugzilla. Bugzilla.kernel.org is actually an entirely reasonable place to file bugs about failing suspend resume. They'll generally be happier if you can build your own kernel, run the latest bleeding edge kernel, and if you can build it with PM trace and get the output from that, that would be absolutely magic, because that then lets you work out which driver it is. These API guys will then look at it and might say, oh, it's this driver's problem, and then it turns out that driver's maintained by somebody who just binds with Bugzilla. So at that point you have to go around to their house and beat them. But get the bugs filed. Make sure people who can fix it know about the bug, and then with luck, it'll be fixed. The PM trace stuff makes diagnosing the issue much, much more straightforward, which means it's much easier to assign it to the appropriate person rather than just have several people look at it and say, I don't really know. It might be my problem. It might not be. I can't be bothered.
Do you have those problems that would prevent your laptop from actually suspending in the first place? Like, you hit the list switch and
I haven't seen that.
Let me show you.
Oh, that sounds like a bug. Excellent. Right, so that one might actually be a bug in the kernel rather than a driver. It is the case that some drivers do really bad things if you hit during the suspend path. Sometimes suspend won't work. Usually it does, sometimes it doesn't. But yeah, it's worth taking a look at that. In principle, suspend and resume should work much better on PowerPC than on x86 because the firmware does a great deal more of it, and in principle the firmware should be correct. And also there's a much smaller range of hardware. In practice, people seem to have stopped caring about PowerMax, PowerPC-based Macs, and no other PowerPC platform really has any power management. And basically no other platform has power management. So unfortunately, while it should work much better on Macs, people just lost interest in making it work, and I don't own any Macs. If somebody would like to send me a really nice, I don't know, 12-inch PowerBook for sort of fun, then I'll actually ignore it because I need to finish my PhD. But at some arbitrary point in the future, it would be nice to make that work.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so if people have any more questions, feel free to come up and ask me later on. Thanks very much.